The Enneagram 7, known as the Enthusiast. Sevens are extroverted, optimistic, versatile, and spontaneous. Playful, high-spirited, and practical, they can also misapply their many talents, becoming overextended, scattered, and undisciplined. They constantly seek new and exciting experiences, but can become distracted and exhausted by staying on the go. They typically have problems with impatience and impulsiveness. Their key motivations are to maintain their freedom and happiness, to avoid missing out on worthwhile experiences, to keep themselves excited and occupied, and to avoid pain. Welcome to the Enneagram Unplugged, the podcast where we get to sit down and spend some quality time with someone from each number on the Enneagram. Through questions and shared experiences, we hope that this show will leave you feeling a little more connected, encouraged, and enlightened as you continue along your Enneagram journey. I'm your host, Ashley Danner, here all by myself today because Kristen is on vacation. But I'm still here at Christ United, and you can always feel free to send us questions about our show. Today, we get to sit down with the one and only Lisa Riazzi, who's the Assistant Children's Director here at Christ United. So, she is an Enneagram 7, and I'm really excited to have her here today. Hey, Lisa!
Sevens are the good time!
That's exactly right. So this is going to be easy, man. This is going to be fun. I'm so glad to have you back. It's been a minute.
Yeah, I'm glad to just be talking about myself. It's the one thing I know the most about.
Right. You can kind of be an expert in your own way, right?
For this one time, literally, only one time ever.
Well, let's get started then. So tell me a little bit about being a seven. What does that mean?
Well, it wasn't until I started diving into the Enneagram stuff that it helped me realize kind of why I did the things I did. And it helped me. It was so nice. I understood there are people just like me, that the little quirks that were always pointed out to me or the things that people encouraged in me, there were people just like me. So it's kind of like nothing's ever good enough or fun enough. It could always be better. And it's what I always call the bigger, better deal. I'm always searching for the bigger, better deal. So I could be on the best boat on the planet, having the most fun. But what I really want are like jet skis and like an awesome radio and like better drinks next time. Like I always am thinking, but next time, you know what we should do? So it's been nice doing this journey because I've realized I'm not the only one who does that.
That's amazing. And sevens are known as the enthusiast, right?
Yes.
Which I think is a really good descriptor for you, Lisa.
And that's what's so nice. When I bump into other sevens, it's almost right away I can tell them. There are a lot of numbers that I can't tell right away. I'm just not pro yet, you know. But when I can see a seven walk into a room, and just almost just by their energy and how they enter, it's like, it is another seven. It's so happy. Like someone else knows what I struggle with.
That's awesome. How long have you been associated with or like looking into the Enneagram yourself?
I had heard of it a while ago, but I only got a little bit serious about a year and a half ago and really started reading and watching YouTube videos and talking to other people. And, you know, I have Facebook groups, you know, like the seven support group.
Right. You know? Right.
But yeah, only a year and a half now.
So what was your Enneagram journey like? You know, you've been doing it for a little while now. Was it easy for you? Did you know your number immediately? Or did you kind of check out a few other numbers before you settled on seven?
Well, you know, I was surrounded by people who were knowledgeable and they were pretty confident they knew what I was and they wouldn't tell me. And then
that's the rule.
Seriously. And then someone told me they thought I was a two. I think that's because I was so involved in foster and adoption ministry and CASA. And I have this like heart for animals and children and the vulnerable. And so I think maybe they thought that. And so I had kind of stuck myself in a two mode. And I was identifying with it quite a bit. It just didn't feel right. And then when we were going through and watching the videos and reading the chapters together, reading the 7 chapter and watching the video literally felt like the nightmare I used to have as a kid before the first day of school. Good timing, right, kids? When I wouldn't have a shirt on and I was in the lunchroom and everyone's staring at me laughing. And it's that vulnerable nightmare that I think everybody has some version of once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the feeling I got when I was listening to, when I was watching the video. My heart was beating so hard and I felt like gross almost. I mean, it was like almost like not being clothed in public. It just felt so vulnerable and like, oh my gosh, not everybody knows that I don't really want to be here right now because it could be better.
Oh, like you felt so seen.
Oh, it was really bad at first.
Yeah, I can understand that. I mean, that's kind of what everybody has said, which is so interesting. Just like how icky you feel when your number gets read. And, you know, it's kind of sad that it's an icky feeling, but it really, you know, says a lot about how we kind of culturally feel about that level of vulnerability. But it's so interesting that that's such a universally experienced feeling.
And I don't know why that makes me feel so much better that everyone's miserable at the same time. Thank you.
Right. So what aspects of your number do you feel like come out the most for you during your like everyday life? Are there parts of it that show up when you problem solve or do other bits?
It's hard for me to be present unless I'm telling myself to be present. Normally I feel like something else could be something I'd rather be doing more, even if it's something silly like watching Netflix. It doesn't always have to be something adrenaline, you know, wound. But when I'm healthy, I feel like I can kind of tap into other sides of myself and I can do a little research and really think things through before making decisions, because my nature, I think, is to have an idea or see something or somebody tells me something fun or that I think is interesting. And then boom, I'm in go mode. I mean, I'm like swiping the credit card, booking the plane tickets. I mean, minutes after having an idea. So I think I've realized there's a side of myself I can tap into that will slow me down and help me to make decisions that are good instead of just fun.
Right. Instead of just purely spontaneous. So something I've heard about sevens is that along with being really excited about lots of stuff, like you're saying, like just jumping on and doing things, that you also kind of have a hard time with the more negative things about life. The sevens can be kind of avoidant of negative experiences. Is that something you have felt?
That is a probably pretty big universal seven issue. I mean, we essentially, you know, me especially, I run from fear. So if I even sense that something could be scary, or that I could get hurt in any way, like even physically hurt, I would make excuses to not go to the doctor or the dentist. I mean, I would trick myself into thinking I had an actual different ailment so that I couldn't go to those things. Not just that, but like emotional things. So when I think things are getting hard, it's really my brain kind of clicks over to like, how can we laugh right now? And it's not always appropriate and it's not always good for the people around me, but it's just kind of where I immediately go. Humor kind of helps to deflect any emotion. And so I just try to avoid feeling fear or sadness or too much adulting all at once. It's one of those things that gets me feeling a little bit electrified, like staticky in my soul.
Sure. Is that something that has gotten easier or harder as you've gotten older? I mean, obviously, as you get older, you deal with more problems, you know, more big, wide adult problems. Do you think that you've gotten better at encountering those hard places because you've been forced to? Or do you feel like it's increased your kind of spontaneity?
Well, I can now slow down and recognize that's what I'm doing. I used to just think that everybody thought the way I thought, or that I was the only one in the world that thought this. And so I either felt like I was going with the flow or very isolated. Mm-hmm. And now, especially since I've been able to surround myself, like as you get older, you're really careful who you let in. You know, as you get older, you know, you've been hurt enough times and, or I've been hurt enough times that I'm a little bit more careful. I don't cast my net out as wide, cause I just don't want to bring everything in. I mean, I like to be friendly to everyone, and but as far as letting people get too deep with me, I'm very cautious about who gets close. And that a lot of that is to avoid possible pain. And luckily, I've been able to surround myself with people who can do like kind of spot checks or little truth bombs, you know, like, right. Hey, you're doing it. It's happening. And the boss of me here, Miss Meredith, you know, I feel so connected to her, and she was real an Enneagram enthusiast, and mm-hmm. she's been able to, kind of, I just feel like she encourages me and she sees me for who I am. And that's really nice to have a working relationship, because we are together so often, right. like at work, but also outside of work. And so it's really nice to have people like that in my life who, even though she's younger than me, is so wise. Mm. And it's, that helps me a lot to have people in my life who I know will speak truth to me and be able to say, hey, you're doing the thing where you're sabotaging. Don't sabotage. You're doing it. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, once someone says it to me, I'm like, click right out of it. I'm like, oh, I am. That's exactly what I'm doing.
Oh, that's so, I love that. I love her, but I love that you have that with her too.
Me too.
So sevens, where do sevens go in stress and insecurity? What are the numbers that you slide between?
Well, in stress, we go to one. So we kind of become like the no-nonsense, wag-your-finger dad type energy, you know? but also we then finally accept responsibility for the things that we should have been probably doing for a while. But I tend to get pretty agitated. I go ahead and do the thing I was supposed to do the whole time because it's supposed to be done. So it kind of gives me this boost of energy to just get my head down and do the work. It's almost like the sense of duty is there, but there's no joy. When I'm feeling stressful, there's no joy. It's all like, okay, let's just get this done. Let's just rip the Band-Aid off. I get a little bit harsh, a little bit critical, maybe not even a little bit, maybe a lot. But I just feel like that's when I become rigid and almost like black and white.
And insecurity?
Yeah, this one spoke to me a lot. I go to a five, which is like an investigator, you know, and I become a little more logical and rational, and I can think things through. And I, when I'm healthy, I think, wow, maybe I shouldn't buy that purse that costs as much as my mortgage because I'm a single mom and I have mouths to feed, which naturally, if I was driving by and I saw it in the window and I wanted it, it's not hard for me to just walk right up and sacrifice everything to buy the purse because it feels good right then. So my security number, kind of, I feel like if I can tap into that, really helps me to learn and grow in my own sevenness. But also, I think when I'm in insecurity mode, and not insecurity, but in space security, that's when I get, I'm the most passionate about the things that I love, like foster and adoption and CASA and the most vulnerable of us all. And that's when I can teach about those things, learn about those things, and spread the knowledge and get other people passionate about it. Those are things I can't do when I'm in stress. I can't calm myself enough to then even be passionate or have any joy or teach things.
That's a wide gap, but it's such an additionally wide emotional experience, which I think is incredible about sevens. Y'all can kind of run the gambit without getting stuck like some other numbers can. You can have like all of the feelings or no of the feelings, none of the feelings in the same day, and still find yourself back at excited to be here, which is a talent. That's cool.
It's a little bit of a spastic roller coaster that is fun and scary and chaotic all at the same time.
How has your sevenness showed up or been a part of your parenting? If Kristen was here, she's always interested to see how different numbers experience being a mom and parenting and all of this fun stuff.
It's hard because I want to, I think I tend to want to not just parent my kids, but I want to befriend them mm-hmm. and I want them to want to be around me. And like one of my biggest fears is that when they move out, they won't want to come back and hang out. Mm. And like, you know, that's a big motivator for me. I want to have like common interests and have all kinds of fun things and traditions so that they want to be like, my mom's so cool. We're going to go hang out. Like, I don't want to be the mom who lets everyone get away with all of the things they shouldn't be doing. And I don't want to encourage bad behavior. I don't want to be the house people go to because there's like, you know, awful things going on in the basement. Like, you know, I grew up in Indiana. Everybody mm-hmm. had a basement. There was always that one house in the neighborhood or the one family that had the parents who wanted to be everyone's friend. Mm-hmm. So I don't want that, but I do want my kids to always want to like be my best friend once they're allowed to, once they're out of the house mm-hmm. and they're allowed to be friendly with me.
No, I get that. And I think everybody plays that out in a different way sometimes. I mean, maybe some people don't experience that, but I don't know. The moms I know do.
Yeah, for sure.
So a seven's wounding message. This is this thing that we supposedly heard in our childhood, either directly or indirectly, that kind of maybe pushed us towards becoming the person that we are and the number that we are. So a sevens is, it's not okay to depend on anyone or anything. Is that something that you identify with? Or is, like, can you recognize where that might have showed up in your childhood intentionally or unintentionally? Or is that kind of just out of the blue for you?
Well, no, that, you know, I grew up in an abusive home and was placed with my grandparents, which is why I love all the grandparents out there who take a big part in the lives of their grandkids. Mm-hmm. And we have so many families here at the church who are raising their grandchildren. And it's like those people I have such a heart for, and I love them so much because of what I've been through. Mm-hmm. And I think when you grow up in that kind of trauma and chaos and moving homes and not knowing, you know, what the future had, it's like I can now look back and realize that I always called myself independent. Mm-hmm. And I think there are levels of independence, and I can see how my independence, and I say that in air quotes because I don't know what it was, but I call it my independence. And when I was married, mm-hmm. I think that helped to sink that relationship because I refused to rely on anybody because to me it was weakness. Mm. And I don't know that anybody could have cracked me at that time. I think it, you know, it was just me being having to go through the journey I was going through.
Right.
And so now I'm with someone who I want to be a great partner for. And I'm trying to be open and vulnerable and all of those things and try to depend on him. And that's really, really against my nature mm-hmm. because it kind of leaves you open to trouble or possible pain.
Right.
So it's been a really unique journey this past, you know, 15 years, but especially this last year and a half as I've been doing more seven work. And there are a couple of sevens that work at the church also.
Oh yeah. And y'all are the best crew ever.
We chat sometimes, and it's funny how our experiences line up, and it's really nice to have those people around when I'm having kind of a weird seven day. And I just say, hey, I woke up and I was thinking this, or maybe do this, and they can talk me down from the cliff because they can see that it's mm-hmm. probably not a good idea.
That's awesome. And thank you for sharing that. I mean, that's intense, but it's so encouraging and interesting for everybody out there to hear that, like, there are networks of sevens who have had similar experiences and, you know, help each other out in that. I think that's amazing.
I love it.
So what would you say is your number superpower? So you know, Suzanne Stabile likes to say that every single number has something amazing to offer. And I think she's right. What about you and your personality allows you to improve your life and the lives of those around you? And we know that you do a lot already. I know all of the things that you do, but maybe everybody else doesn't.
Well, I think the superpower of the seven is bringing joy and spontaneity. Mm. Some of the numbers are really terrified by the spontaneous nature of the sevens, but but also some of my best friends are those numbers, and they ground me. And then I think they kind of love to be thrown into my world for a little while, even if it's just for like 2 hours. I don't know mm-hmm. if many of them would want to be in my world for weeks, but I think they have fun kind of getting out of their head, and you know, it's, you can live in the gray and just figure it out as we go, and there is no plan and we'll just figure it out. And one of my favorite things to do on the weekends before, you know, the COVID kind of slowed everything down was I would take my kids or a friend or whoever I was with, and I would say, okay, let's just get in the car and go downtown. And we'd start driving downtown, and I would stop. It's one of the stoplights, and I would Google best burgers near me or best tacos near me or best margarita, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And we would just kind of go wherever it took us. And then when we were eating, I would say, okay, best trail or best lake or best sunset view, or, you know, and then off to the next spot. So
that's awesome.
So I think there, the superpower of the seven is to be able to do those things confidently and comfortably. And doing those things and knowing there's no plan, sometimes scares me if there's no plan, like at work or big events or something like that. But if it's in my personal life, if I'm outside of work, I kind of love to not know what's coming next, as long as I have the right outfit on. I want to be dressed for the right occasion. I will not be happy about a surprise if I don't look good and there are pictures. Other than that, I'm happy to not have any idea what's going on and just pack the bag and zippity-doo-dah.
That's amazing. That is a superpower, because you're right. I have some very dear friends of mine who that would be actual torture for them. Like yes. Physical bodily harm done unto them if they were asked or forced to do something without being informed beforehand.
I know those people, and they're fun. They're a good time sometimes.
I am one who likes to go with the sevens. You know, as a two, especially, sevens are always also willing to call out what is good, because y'all are so excited about what's happening and what could be happening and what will be happening. As a two, I constantly, unfortunately, need external affirmation, or at least I crave it. I don't need it, but I do crave it. And both you and Angie, who is also a seven at Christ United, easily are the people who tell me I'm doing okay the most. And it's just because it's in y'all's nature to be like, that was really fun, or that was a really good thing to say, or, you know, man, I'm really looking forward to this meeting with you. And oh my gosh, that really just keeps me afloat sometimes. I hope you know that you do that for people, where other people might be sinking and y'all are just that emergency air tank for
people. It's so nice to hear. I mean, it's so nice to hear. I mean, I have this crazy story. One of my dearest friends is somewhere between a one and an eight. I'm still trying to figure her out. And, and she just let me take the reins one time and plan a trip out of the state. And we got to the airport and barely made it. And then we our seats weren't right on the airplane. And then we barely made it to the rehearsal dinner. And then we showed up to the wedding and there was a graduation at the same time. And we had to switch drivers in the car. And so I could run to the wedding, and I made it in the chapel as the bride was walking down the aisle as she parked the car. I mean, it was just, I kept saying, isn't this so exciting? It's like we're in a movie. And I think she was medicated after that. I mean, I tell that story all the time about how she's such a planner, even when she drives across, you know, she's going to stay overnight somewhere. She knows, you know, about where they're going to stop for everything, gas and hotel. And she's already booked the hotel. And I kind of just like, we'll figure something along the way, you know, and I can't believe she just let me take the reins and, and give her the whole seven experience for an entire 3 days, and she will never do that again. But she, when we got back, she was happy she did it, you mm-hmm. know, but I think it really exhausted her.
Sure.
Because not everyone can just fly by the seat of their pants. You know, some people actually like a plan and to know that things are safe ahead.
Well, sure. And everybody recharges a different way, right? Yeah. Like for a seven, you get energy from those crazy left and right turns,
mm-hmm.
you know, whereas, you know, and even for a five where you go in stress, and some other friends we have who are fives, they can't handle that all day. They've got about two of those in them like every day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just like, oh, the restaurant I wanted to go to is closed. I have to choose another one.
Yes.
But no, y'all give that as a gift to people around you, especially when y'all are doing awesome. And so I'm so thankful for that about you guys. As other types try to reach the health of their number, that kind of balance that you're talking about between the best parts of your number and the times when you get stuck, what advice do you have for people who are trying to reach a space of health and balance?
Well, I say, aside from knowing the traits of the number, mm-hmm. the good and the bad, but mostly the good. Mm-hmm. I mean, because the bad, those are the easy ones to hear because you already know it, you know. The good ones are sometimes a little harder to hear because we're all harder on ourselves, you know.
Absolutely.
But I think if you can focus on your wings also, it's almost like if you can seek balance, because for me, I feel like I go pretty equally, to either side of myself.
Uh-huh.
So sometimes I am way more of an entertainer and I'm charming and lose focus a little bit easier. And then sometimes I'm more kind of a realist and I can plan things and I get a little demanding, and that's when I really need my adrenaline. And mm-hmm. I love someone's energy to like get, I like someone in my face, like same energy, you know, like get up in there, you know, I love it. But, you know, so I think, I just feel like there's a balance, you know, it's like I kind of swing back and forth between being a realist and an entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you see your wings as kind of like the salt and pepper of your number, like they flavor you.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, try to recognize patterns and take time to identify the good, bad, and the ugly. Just take mm-hmm. the time to identify these things and surround yourself with at least a couple people who are comfortable giving you truth bombs.
Yeah.
And that really helps, trusting people around you to kind of call out the crazy
mm-hmm.
as it's happening. I think it makes it so much easier to be healthy when you're not on an island, when you don't feel alone, when you know people will say, hey, you know what? I have to say this because I love you, but ... and then insert whatever you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is a really great, loving and kind thing to do for yourself.
What type of like grounding methods or, you know, spiritually focusing things, or what are your methods for keeping yourself healthy as a seven? Like, what things call to you? Is it journaling? Is it making sure you're going on a walk? Is it meditation? We've had lots of meditation, but I wonder if that's something you feel like you can do.
Well, I can't just sit with my thoughts. It either turns sad or funny. Like, there's no neutral. There's really just no neutral. But what I used to do when I was going through my divorce, which wasn't the hardest time of my life, but it's in the top 10, right?
Yeah.
I got in the habit of bringing my tablet to bed and putting my headphones in and listening to this meditation music. And it was the same one every single night, 'cause I like repetition
mm-hmm.
when I'm trying to relax. That always helped, or going to a movie by myself. I know that sounds so funny, but, it was always a little bit hard for me to be by myself, 'cause I like to have all the people around me all the time.
Right.
And like, you know, I would leave one lunch and go to a dinner, and then leave the dinner and go out for drinks, and then go home and then have a breakfast. You know, like I always had stuff lined up.
Right.
And so I learned how to, spend time with myself. And so that was really nice to realize that I even like me just hanging out. I don't need to be, you know, on all the time and being around all the people and doing my thing. Sometimes it's okay to just be alone. And I would go grab lunch by myself and just kind of sit at the bar and put my headphones in, or, you know, meet the lady next door or whatever it was. I realized that being alone and out doing things is actually really good for me.
Mm.
I mean, you generally that turns into, I mean, and it's funny, I think of Angie doing the same thing, our fellow seven here. Because I do love people so much and I am legitimately curious about people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm on fire curious. I want to know everything about everybody and I want to love everybody. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I have friends kind of everywhere, like the lady at Chewy's and, you know, the front desk lady at the school and the checkout guy and the bagger kid and I know their names and where they live. And, you know, I check on them and I become Facebook friends with them. And I'm generally curious just about humans in general. I want to know everyone. And sometimes that's hard for me to do when I have other people around me,
because
mm-hmm. they'll kind of roll up my eyes and they're like, here she goes again. We're going to be talking to the checkout lady for another 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. But if I'm alone, I feel more free to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
And then I look for that same checker the next time I go and I ask about what we talked about last time, you know, and I love like building those relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of recharges me when I see people that I hadn't seen for a while. I have a very, very favorite Walmart pickup person. And I don't go on the days that he doesn't work. He doesn't work on Wednesdays and Sundays. So I don't go on Wednesdays and Sundays. And I check on him and he gets my kids birthday cards.
Aww.
And I mean, we are like family now. And it's like, that doesn't happen unless you're vulnerable and you're open and oh my gosh. And, you know, friendly and all of those things. It's been really fun spending time with myself, not necessarily alone, but with myself,
mm-hmm.
out doing things that usually you would see people doing in groups or with a friend or whatever. That's been really therapeutic.
That is so interesting. I mean, that's something that I like the idea of for sure, but I don't know that it's something I would ever execute to do. That's really incredible. And you are one of the only people, and this could be just because I'm not a homeowner yet. Like, I'm not, that's just not where I'm at just yet. But you're the only person I've ever heard talk about knowing their mailman.
I love my mailman.
I know. And it's just so funny because I remember when we first met and you told me a story about seeing your mailman somewhere out in the world. And you were like, oh, that's my mailman. And I was like, how in the world? I didn't even know people had, like, and this is such a silly not paying attention to the world thing, right? But like, I didn't know you had the same mailman all the time.
Oh,
or like, like I, until you said that, I honestly hadn't thought about it. I figured everybody works on shifts, right? And I'm just, yeah. Like, oh, okay. And it, you know, then it occurred to me as I thought about my past, like, jobs, you know, I was an office manager at a church for one of my first jobs. And I was like, oh yeah, I guess we did have the same mailman most of the time.
That's so funny. Yeah. I don't even think about it. That's so funny. But yeah, to me, it's like, it's someone that's close to my home and that I see every day and I want to know as much about them as I can.
Yeah.
And yeah,
totally fair.
I've had two mailmen in the 14 years I've lived in my house. And the first was Tim, and this guy's name is Baraka, and he is so great at what he does, and he's so full of joy, smiles all the time. And I just, sometimes I look out my window and I see him and I like bang on the window. And I'm like, his truck is probably 150 degrees because the motor is near his feet.
Oh.
So it gets really hot near their feet. I only know this because the old man, mine, Tim, told me all the things. And I just think, oh my gosh, what a tough job. I mean, right. His feet are literally on fire. And people are parking in front of the mailboxes, you know, like he's a full of joy person. It's like he chooses joy, you uh-huh. know, and that can be a really isolating and sad job, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're by yourself all day and it's hot or it's cold or it's rainy. And here he is just with the biggest smile you've ever seen. And I'm just like, so drawn to that type of energy, you know, just the people loving, you know, embrace the world, glad to be alive, who knows when it's all going to be over energy.
That's awesome. I love that, man. So much.
I love those guys.
So you brought up being in a relationship.
Yes.
Which I know you're very happy about.
Yes.
So what advice do you have for others who are in relationships with sevens? Both romantically and, you know, platonically. Like, what is your best friend look like, and what do people who want to be in relationships with sevens either way need to know? What is a good way to be in a relationship with you?
You know, it's the odd thing is all of my very best friends, the ones that I trust with my life and that I would, you know, step in front of a bus of in front of to save, or, you know, whatever, right, the symbol, right, or whatever. I mean, I have a handful. I'm so lucky. I have a handful of dear friends that are like family to me. And my kids call them aunt, and you know, it's a family level friendship, and they're all ones and eights.
Really?
And yeah, it's so funny. And I mean, aside from Angie, you know, I mean, I love her like a sister, you know, but aside from her, all of the people I'm the very closest to and that I trust the very, very most are the ones and eights. And I don't know if it's because I feel like they'll be the most honest with me, or if I think they need me the most, because sometimes they need some more fun in their lives. But, you know, sevens, you know, we love to keep things on the surface and not get too deep, because it's really easy to walk away from a relationship that's not too deep. You know, then you don't get hurt. It's no big deal. You kind of brush your shoulders off. No big deal. You don't cry over boys. No big deal. Just don't let them too close. And then things aren't scary that way. And I've had to work really hard to let people in. And I love to use this analogy of, you know, casting your net, like being on a boat and you're fishing, and if you cast your net really wide, you're going to get all kinds of stuff. And maybe some of it's good, but some of it is bad, and some of it's really going to hurt you, and you got to be careful. And so as I've gotten older, I've realized I just need to kind of go fishing for people. I like kind of can target practice people. I see someone and I'm like, you know what? That's someone I want to be closer to. And I get intentional. Mm-hmm. Instead of just trying to throw my net out and just let everybody in, I want to be friendly to everybody. I want everybody to have a good time. That's not a big deal. But in terms of having a relationship, platonic or, you know, a loving relationship, whatever it is, I'm really cautious who I let get close to me. Mm-hmm. And it's, I've done some recovery stuff too, because of my childhood. Mm-hmm. That's helped me a lot, you know, just learn to basically not be afraid of being hurt.
Right.
But also, as I say that, probably within the last couple of weeks, I've made some mistakes on that front where I've started to maybe push people away because I got scared. So, I certainly know my boyfriend has probably felt that a little bit once in a while. And he's so patient and so kind. And I try to explain myself. I'm lucky to be at a point now where I can feel myself starting to pull away or get scared. Mm-hmm. And I used to sabotage things. So in the past, like if you're with a seven and out of the middle of nowhere, they try to pick a fight about something really dumb, like you put the fork in the dishwasher upside down, so like we can't be together, because I would never be with someone who does that. Probably they're not really worried about the fork. They're probably worried that you're getting a little too close and they're trying to pick a fight so you'll leave.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's, you know, just honestly, the best way I can say for myself is I've been really cautious about who I let close, because I want people to be able to get deep with me. Mm-hmm. And I love everybody, and I want almost everybody, and I want to be friendly with everybody. I want to have a good time and all that stuff. But the people I let really close, I also feel like I need to give them a little bit of the tiny little legal warning that like at some point I'm going to try to pick a fight about something stupid. And I'm going to try to sabotage this, and it's not going to be something awful. It's not anything that's going to hurt anybody, right? It's just something really stupid, like a fork is upside down in the dishwasher. And it's like, I just feel like the people that get in relationships with me probably need to know that I will at some point try to sabotage things. But as I've gotten older, I can feel it coming and I really can fight it. And I think once you get to a certain point with the seven, they'll stop testing you.
Right.
That's when you know you're in. Like, that's a lifer. At that point, if that's a friend to me and I finally feel like I'm not trying to, you know, get scared or whatever, that person, I will be at their kids' weddings and I will babysit their grandkids and we're lifers, right? Like, they're going to be at my funeral. Like, they're my bestie, you know? And same in, like, you know, like romantic relationships. It's like, it takes a long time, but once I finally give in and I can trust and not be afraid of being hurt, that's the motivator, right? Is like fear of being hurt. Mm-hmm. That's kind of when the magic happens, and it doesn't happen often. So right. Yeah, I can see how if I wasn't a seven, being in a relationship with someone like me would be really scary, not knowing if this person is just going to up and leave at any time because bigger, better deal, right? Like, mm-hmm. maybe they got a job offer and they just move overnight. I mean, I have moved overnight before, literally overnight, and from state to state. Wow. And I wouldn't do that. Now I've got two little kids. One is taller than me now. Let's not talk about that. But I have these two kids and a house and all this stuff, right? Like, I have the stuff now, but in my unhealthier younger days, whatever great deal came along or some idea came along, I was happy to pack my car and just start driving. Like, text everybody the next day, sorry, it wasn't working out. See you next time. Mm-hmm. So I can see it, how it could be really scary to be in a relationship with someone like me, knowing that I could maybe always be looking for a reason to run.
Sure. And so it sounds like you just need honesty, patience, and some resiliency. Because I think that's also what is interesting to know about ones and eights. Those are two pretty tough numbers. As far as their constitution, not like they're mean. They get a bad rap for being mean. But, you know, those two numbers are willing to kind of say it how it is. But then at least eights, I've heard, also are willing to have a conflict. And then once they leave that conflict, it's over.
Oh, I love the eights.
Yeah, because which probably works well, right?
Yes, and they can be a little scary if you don't know what you're dealing with. But otherwise, it is they really can be done with it. They mm-hmm. just, they say it and it's over. They don't hang on. I mean, I can hang on to things for an unhealthy amount of time, like years. And they can just, once it's done, it is actually done. Like, what a crazy good gift.
So honesty, persistence, and patience sounds like the best friend of a seven.
I think patience is wonderful.
That's amazing. So what is your favorite and least favorite thing about your number? I mean, we've talked about a lot of fun things and also a lot of hard things, but if you were to peg it down, what would be your favorite and least favorite?
I think my favorite thing, if I were to meet another seven, my favorite thing about them are their need for exploration. It's they're very aware that this life doesn't last forever and that this could be it. Like, every day could be it. And you hear people say that all the time, live like this is your last day. But I think of all the numbers, sevens are really motivated by the fear of not necessarily dying, but missing out.
Mm-hmm. Huge FOMO. So
right now is anything could be anything that comes along. Just do it. You have to do it. Like, why would you not do it? What if you're dead tomorrow? And so I just love the need for exploration.
And least favorite?
Well, not me, because I'm the perfect seven, but some of us sabotage relationships and we don't let people get too deep and we're afraid of things. We avoid hard feelings and by using sarcasm and humor. And one of my least favorite things is the feeling that we're running out of time.
Hmm.
It's so scary. And that is one of the fear things.
That reminds me of that Hamilton song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can't remember the name of it right now, but you know, why are you always writing like you're running out of time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a huge motivator. The, you know, oof. Oh, you just gave me chills.
What do you wish people understood about being a seven? If you could leave something with everybody.
That we just need to be reminded that this moment right now, this moment is important and it's worth paying attention to. Because we want to live in the moment and it's really hard. And sometimes the fear of what could be better or next way far outweighs what's happening right now. And I have been so thoughtful in the relationship I'm in now. Sometimes I actually say, I have to say out loud, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. I wouldn't want to be with anyone else. I love this moment right now. Like, cause I have to say it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's nice for me. If people know me well enough, they can see me, like I'll start physically fidgeting and I'll, mm-hmm. my eyes will check out. They're darting around and thinking of the next thing. And it's really nice to trust someone enough to kind of wrap around you and say, hey, this is really good right now. There's nothing else we should be doing except for right now. This is the perfect moment for this moment right now. Mm-hmm. It's really nice to have people around that recognize when I'm starting to kind of daydream, mm-hmm. and they can just bring me back. Just whoop, come on back to Earth, sister.
Splash something shiny.
I know. Squirrel, just anything. Anything works. Like maybe make a code word like mango or something. Mango. Okay, I'm back, you know.
And we're back.
Mango.
I love that so much. What advice do you have for people that are just starting out on their Enneagram journey?
I think this is really easy. I think you have to accept what you find and just embrace it. And if something makes you uncomfortable, figure it out. Like if there's something that you dread that you hear that you're like, oh, wow, I do that a lot. Well, you have choices. You can either change it or not change it. And if you don't change it, you just have to embrace it. That's who you are. And you just have to be confident and people are just going to deal with it because you cannot worry about what people think of you. That is a gift that I've had for a lot of my life that I legitimately, unless it's someone who's very close to me, if they're very close to me and they point something out or think something awful of me, that's harder, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if it's just someone who I've not let close, they can say nearly anything to me about me. I don't really think about it much. Honestly, I just have the gift of going to bed at night and not thinking about it. So I think whatever you learn, accept it for what it is. Whatever you find out, just accept it, embrace it, and you can either change or stay the same and be confident in who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Changing is really hard and you don't always need to change. I mean, if you're not hurting anyone, if you're not hurting yourself, if you're not negatively affecting the people around you, the things that you are, the things that you've become, those are yours. Own it. It's okay. And eventually you'll find that the people who stick around are the people who are worth sticking around. You know, the people who don't stick around, it's okay. Bye. You know, you've had your fun. It's time to move along. You know, it's no hard feelings. It's just time to move along, you know?
Yeah, I can see a seven being comfortable with both the comings and the goings of themselves and of others, you know, and even those things within ourselves coming and going.
For sure.
Well, I mean, it's about time for us to start wrapping up.
This is fun. And you're really good at this, Ashley. You're crushing it.
You're my biggest cheerleader. I couldn't do it without you, girl.
Because you're so good at this, it's easy for you. Terrifying on this side.
Oh my gosh. This has just been fun. And you had so many good pieces of advice in there. I'm really thankful for you paying attention and sitting with me for this long. I know it's not easy. Thank you for doing it.
I had to close the blinds outside because I was afraid if I saw people walking by, I'd get distracted and wonder what they were talking about, where they were going. I'm not kidding. I had to close the blinds in this room.
It's hilarious. Well, I'm thankful for you doing it and for spending some time with me and my listeners. And I hope you come back again soon, Lisa.
Don't run from fear, my fellow seven friends.
And with that, thanks to those of you out there listening and growing along with us. We're so glad to have you on this long journey. So until next time, love yourself, love others, and know God loves you just the way you are. Bye!